Nepal went to the polls on Thursday this week, just 6 months after mass protests known as the Gen Z protests forced Prime Minister KP Sharma Oli to resign. A total of 76 people, mostly young students, died in the Gen Z protests. In November, the interim government declared 45 of them to be martyrs on behalf of the state. But now an election has been held. So what happened? देशको रक्षा गर्ने जति सबै चुतिया छन् नेता जति सबै चोर देश लुटी खान्छन् आमाको साथ. Well, the voice you're hearing there is the 35-year-old who's likely to be the next prime minister of Nepal. His hip-hop name is Balan. He was the mayor of Kathmandu until January. And the Kathmandu Post says that in a damning indictment of the established political parties, the three-year-old RSP party has secured an electoral tsunami. Roman Gutton is a journalist and editor of the Himal South Asian magazine, which is reporting the election result under the headline, "A New Political Guard Arrives to Confront Nepal's Old Problems." Roman, thanks very much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Thanks for having me, Julian.
Now, Himal South Asian is reporting a landslide victory in which the RSP has swept out the old establishment. Roman, what just happened?
I think the simplest way to put it is that what was started on the streets in September just got finished at the ballot box. I think for anybody who was following, and I think, you know, the world's eyes turned to Nepal for that week, especially one of the most dramatic weeks, certainly in our history. It started with a small Gen Z protest. You had quite literally kids getting shot. I think the government just completely lost control of the situation. And then you had just a mass uprising that swept both the ruling government, but I think also it was clear that it was not just the people who were formerly in power at the time. It was really this old establishment. It was a trio of parties who were the most prominent among that establishment, but it was wider. I think it was basically overwhelming frustration with an entire political class that just spilled over. There were questions about how much of the country really was behind the Gen Z protests. This sense, I think, you know, I'm thinking back to conversations just a couple of months ago where people were saying, you know, the old patronage networks, the old voting habits, a lot of neighborhoods and people would vote almost out of habit and tradition, they would stick by a particular party. So there was the question of, you know, how much did the protest really change? How much of the popular will did that reflect? And I think that it's now black and white. I mean, the old parties have been, I mean, routed. You use the word tsunami. I think, yeah, you can reach for even stronger words than that, it seems. The final results are not quite in yet. The count is still ongoing, but everything is pointing towards a huge majority for the RSP, which is the new party on the block. This is the one that was kind of the most anti-establishment, promising very, very significant and rapid reform. And that really has won the day.
Yes, it truly is amazing, and also amazing that we know so quickly. I think previous elections has taken up to a couple of weeks to work out what the results of the Nepalese election was. But in this case, with, I think, is it 165 seats that are determined by first past the post voting, the results are clear and compelling. Just how big does it look like the RSP majority is going to be?
So with the first past the post, and then we have a complementary system of proportional representation seats in parliament, with those two put together, the count so far, just extrapolating, but I think it's safe at this point to say 2/3 of the parliament, and this is the lower house. This is a party that does not have, at the moment, any representation in the upper house of parliament, but in the lower house of parliament, which is the clearest reflection of the popular will, 2/3 is massive. Nepali politics for a very long time has been locked in these unstable coalitions. You had three parties who had enough number of votes to basically form a government between any two of them. And so you would have the same discredited politicians joining hands, then backstabbing each other, joining hands with someone else, backstabbing them, and on it goes. And the instability also meant that you had ministers coming into office, knowing that they were probably only going to be in there for a year or two. And really, it was just smash and grab, try and get as much as you can. So I think corruption was a massive problem, remains, I think, a massive problem. Just because we voted out the old establishment, that doesn't guarantee in any way that the corruption is going to be gone. It'll be tough, but at least the people have made it clear where they stand on all of this.
Yes, it's an extraordinary result, clearly prompted by the massive protests just 6 months ago. But as we also mentioned, the RSP party has been around for a few years. So Roman, could you tell us about RSP, its short history, and then also about the new star of Nepalese politics, Balendra Shah?
So the RSP and Balin, he still goes by his hip-hop name. One knows him just as Balin. And there's no reason to believe the RSP will change now. So Balin is going to be our next prime minister. They rose simultaneously, but I would say independently. This is in 2022, which was our last general election. The RSP, roughly 6 months before that election, decides to form itself and then starts to campaign. Not so much presence on the ground because this is a young party and also a very urban party at that point. A party that was really speaking to young people, really campaigning online and kind of breaking some of the old codes, using a new vocabulary, a much sharper vocabulary oftentimes than the old parties would. And within 6 months, they fight the election, limited number of seats. They were not across the country party at that point. And yet, even with all those limitations and with only 6 months, they come in fourth. They become the fourth largest party in the House, which took a lot of people by surprise. And Balint, in the meanwhile, also this was in 2022, the last mayoral election for Kathmandu, he comes in as an independent and I would say an insurgent anti-incumbent or anti-establishment independent. The clip that you played at the start of this conversation is, of course, his rap. That's a very famous song of his where he's just really going after the political establishment. And that really struck a chord. Again, kind of coming out of nowhere. He had no political presence and had no really public profile, I would say, among most Nepalis, except for, you know, young Nepalis who were into hip hop, which is still a small set of people. But he just sweeps the Kathmandu election, sweeps out the candidates of the establishment parties. And I think that those two things together, there were also some similar instances in other parts of the country. I think that that's really where everyone woke up and said, there's something building. I think that, you know, all of us expected that the RSP in the next general election, at that point, we were counting on it coming 5 years from 2022, would certainly be challenging the establishment parties. Of course, things happened much faster. Balin Shah, as an independent running Kathmandu, he needed to first step down as mayor, which he did in January, and then he joined the RSP because it's a long story, but the head of the RSP, Robbie Lamithani, has some corruption cases basically hanging over his head as well. So there are questions as to how much those are politically motivated, but he does have legitimate questions to answer. So Balin Shah was a leader without a party, and the RSP was a party not so much without a leader, but without a single highly popular face that they could put kind of as the main face of their campaign. So that clicked, and come January this year, Balin joined the RSP, and we've seen that it's worked out now.
But now they face the massive challenge of government, and by the sounds of things, they will take on that challenge with not much experience in executive government. What policies does the RSP and Balin have in terms of what they've committed to, and what political challenges do they now face, albeit with a great parliamentary majority?
Corruption, as I was talking about earlier, is certainly one of them. Certainly the economy, and the economy meaning primarily, I would say, employment. Nepal has massive out-migration. We have, I think we're approaching 1 million people every year leaving the country to work abroad. And again, this is in a country of very roughly 30 million people. So you can imagine that the working age population is even smaller. We have about 4 million people outside of Nepal working. I think it's safe to say that the majority of them are also behind the RSP, even though they did not get to vote. Now, for the Gen Z protesters, a line you heard very often at the time was, what future here, right? I mean, nobody was able, there's no good employment or very little of it. So that's another frustration. Of course, corruption and misgovernance has a lot to do with this. But I would also say that a lot of the problems for Nepal and the limitations on our economy are also structural and geopolitical. So you can't just wave a magic wand and fix everything. So I think that for the RSP, the challenge will really be trying to deliver on promises within the constraints that they face. I hope that they will be serious about combating corruption. I think that alone is going to be a big achievement and I think a big plus in the public mind. And then I think the economy, and of course, right now there's a war going on in West Asia with, I think, very serious spillover effects, I think, in terms of both fuel prices and inflation. There's also millions of Nepalese who are working there. There might be questions about their safety and evacuation. So yeah, I think that for them, they're going to start with a pretty full inbox, and the test starts now, basically, as soon as they're sworn in.
Do you think the scale of the RSP's victory in itself creates a risk of corruption or the danger of not having an effective opposition to hold them to account?
That certainly is something to think about. I think that if it were any other party with this kind of majority, I think that the alarm bells would be ringing much louder. I think that because this is a new party, people want to give it the benefit of the doubt. That's really why people voted, right? The idea is the old guys messed up and we know they messed up. Let's give a new force a chance. There are still, I think, some checks on them. You can call them checks. You can call them hurdles. They might be frustrated by the fact that they don't have the numbers in the upper house. To gain those numbers, they will have to fight local and provincial elections. It's those governments, provincial governments, etc., that then elect the upper house. Without the upper house, they will be also stymied, I think, in terms of legislative reform. That's not to say that over the course of years, they cannot push some of these reforms through. But I think in the immediate term, I think that it's going to be really looking at how they handle the administration of the country rather than legislation because of these limitations and this timeline that I was just talking about. I think people really want to see improvements in service delivery. They want to see meaningful action against corruption. They want to see, I think, prosecution against a lot of the old political establishment that clearly already has committed corruption, or even in the case of the Gen Z protests last year, we still have not had prosecution of anybody responsible for those deaths. So I think that for them, there is this danger. I think that, you know, they are too powerful. I think that the opposition is going to be very weak. There are also some who have raised questions about just personalities and the ruling habits, let's say, of both Robbie Lanetsane, who's the head of the RSP, and also Balinta himself. Balin's only experience in government was as mayor of Kathmandu, where he was not exactly the most collaborative, let us say. But of course, you know, as mayor of a city, you can rule not quite by decree, but you can rule by your will much more so than when you are the head of a parliamentary democracy. The RSP has been freed of the compulsions of coalition building and the complications and the compromises that that would bring. So in a way, the field is all theirs, but it also means no excuses. I suspect that for a party with the lack of prior experience that it has, I think that that can also be a good thing, because I think that, you know, the more experienced politicians in Nepal were precisely what was driving this frustration. But I do suspect that we will be seeing overreach and missteps. I think that we are in many ways heading into the unknown, but this is the unknown that I think Nepalis wanted. So let's see.
Roman, could you give us some reflections on the performance of the interim Prime Minister and former Chief Justice Sushila Kaki?
Well, I think that the consensus just in the last few days, I think, has shifted a little bit more or significantly more towards just gratitude, respect, and recognition. I think that the fact that we have pulled off an election, a clean election, a peaceful election, so soon after the protests, I think that has been a very pleasant surprise for a lot of people. So I think that's a big credit to Sushila Karki. I think that she has preserved the dignity, I think, of the office, certainly. In many ways, this was an extra constitutional government because, you know, what happened after the Gen Z protest was something that our constitution did not envisage. So in a way, this was an interim government that was kind of cobbled together ad hoc, but it was an extra constitutional government that was trusted with protecting the constitution. I think that that has been accomplished. Sushila Karki, I think also, so, you know, there's a commission of inquiry report that has not been released yet, but that has been completed, we understand, into those days of bloodshed in September. Her government chose not to release it on the eve of the election, I think because of, you know, worries about that being seen as a partisan move. So I think that, you know, history will be a better judge than we can be right now. But I think that right now there's a sense of just, well, thank you for giving us the election and thank you for seeing us through this.
It really is the dawn of a new political era. And I can only imagine that there's extraordinary optimism and amazement at this astounding result. Roman, thank you so much for speaking with us on Sunday Extra about it.
Thanks so much, Julian. Have a good Sunday ahead.
And that's Roman Gautam, who's journalist and editor of Himmel South Asian magazine.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.